The Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia sparked anger and dismay around the world, including in the then Eastern Bloc, where a very small number of very courageous people made their opposition to the invasion known, often at great personal cost. Ian Willoughby spoke to one of them, Pavel Litvinov, for this edition of One on One.
On the 25th of August, 1968, 8 brave souls held a public protest on Moscow's Red Square against the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia. They all paid dearly for that act of fearlessness and defiance, receiving punishments including jail terms, internal exile, and forced psychiatric treatment. The demonstration was organized by Pavel Litvinov, whose grandfather Maxim Litvinov had been Stalin's foreign minister in the 1930s. This week, Mr. Litvinov, now resident in the US, was in Prague for events marking the 50th anniversary of the invasion. When we spoke, I first asked him what had led him to abandon his communist elite background and become a dissident.
After Khrushchev's speech on 20th Congress of Communist Party, I learned that Stalin, whom I admired and loved as a kid, was really criminal. And I felt that something has to be done and we have to change the system. The changes in the country were very slow. And when Khrushchev invaded Hungary, we were disappointed in Khrushchev, became very cynical. But then it became clear that life depends on us. And I became one of the founders of so-called dissident and human rights movement. I felt that I have to speak up when I know that people are arrested, put in mental hospitals, and started to speak up. And around me appeared group of people, relatively small, but behind it were maybe millions who somehow sympathized, learned about our activities through foreign radios, Radio Liberty, Voice of America, BBC. So it became a kind of mood, which became later known as dissidents.
During 1968, how did you even come to know about the Prague Spring Movement? I mean, was it much covered in the press in the Soviet Union?
It was covered very little and very distorted. But we already could read between lines. And when we said that Czech intelligentsia kind of started to sympathize with the bourgeois capitalist ideas, we knew that they actually sympathized with human rights and with free discussion. But we were listening at that time, Voice of America, BBC, Radio Liberty, and got a lot of information. Another thing was important that Czechoslovakian newspapers, like Rude Prava, Literaturne Listy, and some others were sold because nobody could read them. But among my friends and future participants of demonstration was Larissa Bogoraz, Natalia Gorbanevskaya, Konstantin Babitsky. All three of them were professional Slavists who knew Polish and Czech language and translated. So we started to circulate things which were happening. And I became very sympathetic to Alexander Dubček, who slowly but consistently started to improve possibility of conversation between people, freedom of information. And for us, Czechoslovakian Spring, the possibility to build socialism with human face, by Dubček expression, became something which we thought, what would if it happened in our country? We were not naive, but we knew that it's a different country. But in the same time, we felt very deep connection with Czechs and Czechoslovaks and followed what happening. And at some point it became obvious that sooner or later the Soviet authorities won't tolerate that development and send troops like they already did in Hungary and in Germany before that, that it's a question of time. And among us, at least in my small circle of friends, there was a feeling that if they do it, the only thing we can do is to get to Red Square and demonstrate. Red Square is the place where people come and take their support of Soviet government. And it was a natural place to come and protest against activity of Soviet government, which we disagree. So it became kind of idea which was in air among my friends. They said, Pavel, because everybody knew me, I was at that time kind of central figures where many lines intersected. If they send troops, tell us, we'll come with you. In 1967, 68, what happened in Czechoslovakia, it was like our backyard.
When you held your demonstration on Red Square on the 25th of August, 1968, what were you hoping to achieve?
We just felt that we have to speak. We didn't hope to achieve anything. We knew that the troops won't be, because of our demonstration, taken. But we wanted to say to the world and to Russia and to our Czechoslovak brothers that the Soviet authorities say that all the Soviet people support invasion of Czechoslovakia, because Czechoslovakia wants to stop building socialism and will be inviting West Germany, which means Nazis for in Soviet official language, troops there, and Soviet Union get full people support. And we said, not full people, I'm not one of them. So that was the feeling that we have to say it, and people have to know that not all Russians speak. So that was the thing which we want to do. That I feel that I'm ashamed that from my name, a big country occupied a small neighbor. Not for anything except for trying to define their own destiny.
You unfurled a banner on Red Square reading, "For our freedom and yours." What were you saying with that message?
Yeah, that message was not me invented it. It was message which was invented by Poles in 19th century who were under Russian Empire. There was a Polish revolt, and during that time, the Polish emigre met Alexander Gerzen, Russian famous writer and emigre in London, and they would drink together for your and our freedom. So the idea was that there cannot be freedom for Russia if we will deprive freedom our small neighbor. So that was the idea, that free country cannot be free by occupying another country. That's why we felt that we are like brothers. We will be free together or never.
And your own freedom, I guess, very quickly came to an end when you began your protest.
Yes, it definitely did. I was beaten and brought to police station and eventually sent to exile, where I work in far east in Siberia as electrician in mines. It was hard, and at some point I got very sick, but in the same time I expected worse. I was ready to go to labor camp behind barbed wire for 7 years, and I got just 5 years of exile, where my wife and my son could join me, and my daughter even was born there. So it was much better. So I expected worse and was prepared for worse.
But still, 5 years in Siberia, that's a big chunk out of your life. Did you ever regret what you did?
No, absolutely. I have something to remember and be proud of. And suddenly, in last 10 years, people start to talk that it was a part of important historical events of 20th century. We didn't expect that, but I feel proud and glad that I did it.
When did you start learning that there were other people in other cities in the then Eastern Bloc who also carried out similar protests? And I guess today you must know many of these people.
I know about many protests which happened, or people planned them and were arrested before doing. We kind of felt that there is a brotherhood of people both inside Soviet Union and in Eastern Europe who feel the same way. We couldn't necessarily be in contact all the time, but we heard about each other. Foreign radio was very important. So there was some kind of brotherhood of people who wanted freedom, and we felt each other shoulder.
And how do you look back today on what you did 50 years ago?
Well, with pride and even feeling that we somehow contributed to fall of communism and Berlin Wall and freedom of Czechoslovakia. Unfortunately, we didn't bring freedom to Russia on the same level, although Russia today is freer, the communism doesn't exist. But what exists is a cynical government which cares about power and money only. But at least there is no some kind of distorting humanity, communist idea. It's dead, at least in Russia and in most of the world. Even those countries which call themselves communist, like China, They're not real communists. They're a special type of state capitalism, even to some degree successful. So at least that part we won. But we still need, in Russia and in China for that matter, free press, independent court, and basically independent free enterprise. All these things have to be reached. We see here today, in both in Russia and in Czech Republic, in America, some nationalist tendencies. We have Putin and Zeman and Trump who don't care about freedom, who are cynical, curse, and they would rather have quietness of cemetery instead of free, dynamic life.
You've been living in America for many years. Do you know, do many people or many young people in today's Russia know about what you did in 1968?
It's hard to say, but if you start talking, people heard about it, but they don't know exactly. But definitely, if you ask that question 20 years ago, nobody heard it. It almost was not non-existent. Now, somehow, by some mysterious historical process, they know more.